With about 60,000 tracks uploaded daily on Spotify alone, it's easy for anyone to get lost in the mix. So let's try to reverse the odds of being found. My guests are from the creative and business side of the music scene. We talk about what inspires them, their process, and the practical steps they've been taking to get noticed. I'm Saina, your host. Welcome to the show. Hello, everybody. This is episode 21, and today I'm talking to Joshua James, a producer who talks to me about his album release, 10,000 Hours. I really like the concept behind the album, and you'll be able to hear about that shortly. James has previously worked with artists such as Koji Radical and Last Night in Paris. So keep listening to hear all about this. Hello, Josh. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Awesome.
What have you been up to?
Mostly chilling. I had a bit of a bad cold like this past weekend.
Yeah. It wasn't COVID, was it?
No, definitely not. Oh, definitely not. I'm double jabbed up, so.
Okay. You do hear people getting...
Yeah, people are still getting... Yeah, it's true. But no, it was definitely a cold. I'm more or less over it now, which is
good.
That's
good. So you've had a bit of a rest.
Yeah.
What were you doing before then?
So obviously just like promoting my album and stuff. Just busy like doing just admin stuff and things like that.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, have you got any like new projects on the go that you're doing?
So at the moment, it's funny because like I have started thinking about like the next project,
yeah,
like the next album and stuff, although it might be like at least like another year or so. I need a bit of a break.
Fair enough, so
I'm kind of itching to get back into the studio. Like I was trying to go studio this weekend, but I was so knackered.
No, I think it's good to focus on the promotion because it's all good having it out there, but you know, if no one's gonna hear it, you
exactly
know?
What's the point?
Yeah,
you've put in so many hours into like making this body of work, you want to make sure you give it everything.
So how did you start? Like, how did you get started with producing?
Well, with music in general, like I've always been kind of like a musical kind of person since I was maybe like 4 or 5 years old, like learning different musical instruments and stuff.
What instruments do you play?
So I can play piano, guitar, bass guitar. I can play drums and percussion as well. I have a saxophone, but I haven't touched it yet. That's like the next thing that I'm trying to conquer. But yeah, so I've always been kind of like, I was always like a musical kid growing up. And then I think I kind of fell in love with the idea of production when I found out who like the Neptunes were and I found out who Timbaland was. So we're talking like early to mid 2000s. I was like, wait, okay, so these are the guys that like make the song sound like how they sound. Okay, cool. This is interesting. And then fast forward maybe like another 8-9 years. Yeah, that's when I was like, okay, cool. This was probably, I was in college around these times. That's when I really started like getting into production and like, you know what I mean? Downloading like software and trying to figure out how to like make beats and all of that kind of stuff and recording people. So it's probably been like a good, yeah, I'd say like 10, 11 years.
What kind of software were you using?
So I started out on Reason. I started out on Reason 3. I was on Reason for maybe like a year or so. And then at our school, they got a brand new like set of Macs. And so obviously it was Logic that was on Logic 9. Yeah. So then that's when I started getting into Logic. And then I've just been on Logic ever since, to be honest.
Same.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I've never used Reason. Yeah. I feel like there's like a war between the softwares. Like,
yeah,
what do you use?
I feel like, I find like most people I do meet use Logic. I remember like back in the day, Pro Tools used to be like the industry standard. Everyone used to talk
about
Pro Tools.
Couldn't get my head around Pro Tools.
Yeah, neither could I. Like it was, I was just like, yeah, nah, let me just stick to Logic. So Logic is like really popular, but then obviously recently like Ableton's become super, super popular now as well. And FL Studio has obviously come a long way as well. So
yeah.
So yeah, but Logic is my choice of weapon, my weapon of choice. Sorry.
You don't sing or anything or rap. Is it just solely the production?
It is mainly the production. I do sing on my album. I do some backing vocals.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, on a couple of songs. And I feel like my next project, I will like explore
that, yeah,
vocals a bit more. Because definitely in sessions, like especially when I work with singers, like I definitely contribute a lot
to the writing
of melodies and harmonies and stuff like that. But I think it's more so like a confidence thing for me of like, okay, cool, I'm going to, like, I'm still a bit like shook to have my voice be the only voice on the thing. Like, I'd rather just kind of like be in the background and stuff. So I feel like it will come with time.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Now, if you've got the ideas, like, why not do it
exactly.
yourself?
So, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about your album.
In the beginning, when I was first working on it, I was kind of toying whether to call it an EP or whether to call it an album, because I was kind of like, I don't know, like I've never released anything before. Like maybe I should, everyone starts with an EP and then, do you know what I mean? But then I was just like, you know what, like, F it. Like, it's an album. I feel like it's album worthy. Like, let me just put that stamp on it and do my own thing. So, yeah.
What? How many songs is it?
So it's 9 songs.
Okay. So it's like, it is like a hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of in between. Yeah. It's kind of in between there. I feel like when Kanye, remember like a couple years ago when Kanye, well, when Good Music were like, everyone was dropping like 7 song projects or whatever and calling them albums and stuff. I feel like obviously people had been doing that before, but I felt like that was a moment where they like, Good Music really broke the rules of like, okay, cool, an album can be as short as you want it to be and it can be as long as you want it to be. Like, it doesn't have to be 15 songs. It can fully be 7-8 songs and still be classed as that. So
yeah, because obviously it's that whole thing came with vinyls, didn't it? So it's,
yeah,
like, now it's I think on Spotify as well, it always says album, even
regardless
if it's an EP.
regardless
so, just call it an album.
You might as well, yeah. You might as well just stick to your guns,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I really liked it, and I think it's got a really nice mix of genres, which
awesome,
is nice because it's so good to get a taste of different sides, different emotions.
Definitely.
I especially like Falling Blue.
Awesome, thank
it's very
you.
Me. Yeah, soulful.
That's dope.
Yeah, and do you want to talk about like the process? Because I know you obviously worked with a lot of different artists.
Yeah.
And just how that went.
Okay. Cool. So, with this album, I would say probably from like 2015 to 2017, where I wasn't doing music, like I had just kind of fallen out of love with it and just the grind of it and everything like that. And then 2018 came around and I was like, you know what, like I've been trying to kind of do this music thing and try and make a living out of it and stuff like that. Like, let me just get back to doing it just for the love of doing it, not just for trying to make a career out of it or whatever. So 2018, I got back in the studio and stuff and started reaching out to some people who I'd worked with before. And I ended up going out to LA.
Oh, cool.
And I was in LA with my friend Dewey. And I went to a few sessions with different artists and stuff. And then I was like, it's cool, like meeting all these different people and everyone's working on their projects and you're kind of like pitching ideas to people. But I kind of got sick and tired of kind of like waiting around for people to get back to me and, oh yeah, I'm still working on my album or I'm still working on my mixtape or blah, blah. So I was like, you know what, F it, I'm just going to do my own project. That way I'm in control. It will come out when I want it to come out. Do you know what I mean? I can kind of put forward what my vision is for it. So it was the end of 2018, beginning of 2019 that I decided to do that. And then the process was like, it was interesting. Every single song was kind of different. Quite a few of the songs kind of came about organically in a way where I wasn't even really thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be on the album.
Yeah, like, you just made them and it fit.
And it just fit, yeah. So like, I was just, all of 2019, I was just having studio sessions with like different artists and stuff, working on their projects, but then also like coming up with just fresh ideas or like just having fun in the studio or whatever. But I knew kind of from the beginning I was going to call it 10,000 hours because I was just like, it has been such a long journey for me to get to this point. And I really do feel like I've begun to like master this whole like music production thing. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to call it 10,000 hours. And the idea behind it is to literally in a short a space of time possible, show as much range musically, touch as many different genres that I can within reason. Obviously, like, I still wanted the project to be cohesive and to make sense. But I wanted to kind of like flex my muscles and show like, this is kind of like the versatility that I have as a producer and stuff. And at the same time, like on certain songs, like tell a little bit about my story, and some of the things that like I've encountered kind of in my journey as a producer and stuff. So,
and so when you say that, do you mean like with the lyrics?
Yeah. So specifically, there's two songs, Look Up and Compliments, especially. Those two songs kind of tie into each other because Look Up is kind of about the ambitions of wanting to be like successful and wanting to be a producer and wanting to kind of like be at the top of my game and kind of like really do this music thing. And then Compliments is kind of like the flip side of that and kind of dealing with those low moments where people tell you like, oh, you're really, really dope. You're so sick, man. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But then when it's like time to be like, all right, cool. Well, if I'm this sick, do you know what I mean? Then pay me for what it is that I'm meant to be sick at. And then people start to move funny or people feel
it's
all talk. Exactly. So it was kind of like dealing with the frustrations of that. And it was funny because that song, that was one of the songs that originally I had no plans on putting it on the album. I really liked the beat. But for a long time, I was like, oh, I don't really know like what to do with this particular track. And then it's funny, my studio, so I was sharing my studio with two other producers. And one of them, my friend Kieran Tokyo, Ross Tokyo.
Oh yeah, Tokyo, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking like, oh, who could jump on this beat? I don't really know anyone like who has the source to like jump on it. And I was thinking of all the kind of, because Tokyo produces as well. So I kind of wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about people who only rapped. And then I was just like, hold on, like, but Tokyo raps as well. He yeah. could definitely smash this. And then that's when I came up with the concept of like, you know, off of the back of Look Up, like the frustrations of, you know, people rating you, but not really willing to put their money where their mouth is. So I sent him the beat and I explained the concept to him and then he just took it and ran with it and he just killed it. He sent it back to me like that same night, I think.
Oh, really?
Literally like 1 a.m. I got a WhatsApp, I pressed play and I was just like, nah, you understood the assignment, bro.
That's good. So. It's nice when it can work like that. Did you get those songs you just banged it out all in one go?
But
I've had some songs that definitely I will just get through so quickly and you're like, but how did that happen?
Yeah.
And so with the other artists that were on your album, were they people that you just got in contact with or did you know them all kind of personally or like acquaintance?
I think everyone I knew personally except one rapper called Jody Joe. This kid called Jordan Lyles. He's from America. I think I don't want to say he's from LA. He's from California. I'm not sure if he's from LA though. But I've randomly stumbled across him on SoundCloud like a year earlier. So we're talking like beginning of 2018. And so I reached out to him and I was like, you're so sick. Like, we definitely need to work. And at the time he was working on his project. So he was like, all right, cool. When I'm done with my project and when you're done with yours, we'll link up. And so, yeah, a whole year went by. We didn't really speak too much. And then the Appreciations actually... a song that we started in 2017, end of 2017. Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really old song. And we had the chorus, but we didn't have any of the, like, I just didn't know what direction to take it in. I didn't know if it needed rap verses or whether it needed sung verses or, so I would come back to that song periodically and play it and be like, this is a vibe, but I just don't know where to take it. And then in the middle of lockdown last year, I was like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm a bit bored. Let me just like go through like my hard drive and see if there's any like old beats or old ideas and stuff. And then I came across it and then instantly I was like, I know exactly who to send this to.
Like an epiphany.
It was amazing how it just all fell together. And I sent it to him and like 2 days later, he sent it back to me with dope verses. He sang vocals on it as well, played trumpet on it. I was just
nice,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he smashed it, man.
So do you typically send your songs over by email and then they do it themselves?
I usually prefer to have sessions in person. And most of my sessions are in person. Like most of the songs on the album, they were done like in person in the studio. I think I'm not opposed to like doing it over email thing.
It can be like, difficult to get.
Yeah, it can be difficult. Like I always find it's better, like if it's possible to get everyone in the studio at one time, do you know what I mean? And then you kind of feed off of each other's energies and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But obviously like with the internet and stuff, it's dope. You can definitely collab with anyone anywhere in the world.
Yeah, especially if they're in America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so after that, I mean, even before, like, did you have a marketing team with you, PR, label, manager, anyone like supporting you with that?
So originally, while I was working on the album, I didn't have a manager or anything like that at the time. I had heard of like PR agencies and stuff, but I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just like, I just need to finish this album and then I can worry about marketing and stuff later. But once I did finish the album, by that time, one of my good friends, Ephraim, ended up being my manager. Him to be my manager. And then my friend Afar, and a really good friend of mine as well, I asked him to be my manager like maybe years before that. And he was like, no, I don't want to manage, man. I don't want to manage anyone. So I was like, all right, cool. But he always gave me really, really great advice. And he's just like a genius with like marketing strategies and branding strategies and stuff like that. So we kind of begun to put together a plan. We dropped two singles. We dropped The Appreciation and we dropped Homies. And then it was after dropping Homies, that's when I was like, okay, let me look into this PR thing and see what PR could do for me and stuff like that. So that's when I ended up having a few different meetings with PR agencies. And then I ended up going with Unheard. And then we dropped Compliments with them. So we kind of like, we built the team slowly over time.
Which
is quite cool because I kind of got to see the difference between when you do stuff completely on your own and versus when you have certain elements like in your team and in your chain, you can see the difference in results versus like, I think I mean, nothing wrong with having all the team like all there and ready, but I feel like it's good to gauge where you're at. And I feel like I definitely was able to compare where I was at when I dropped the first single versus where I'm at now, where I have my manager and do you know what I mean?
And like, it wasn't like a rush decision where it was like all of a sudden you had a whole team that you didn't really know. And then you were doing something that you were releasing that you didn't know how it was going to go. Like that seems a bit overwhelming to just have that all in one go. So to build that team slowly, I guess, you know that you're going to trust them and being your friend as well. So
yeah, facts. I think it's important because it's funny, like I had management years and years ago in the past, but I was part of a collective. So it was like the management were like managing the collective. So they were cool. Like I don't have anything against them, but I think it's different when it's someone that's like invested in you and you alone.
It's a bit too much. It's like having a class rather than a one-to-one tuition. Yeah,
exactly. So, and I feel like the best managers are the ones that believe in you. Not necessarily, they don't have to be your friends necessarily, but like it's important that they believe in you.
They need to be like a fan of you.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the most important. That to me is more important than like, they've got like mad connections and they know mad people and stuff. Like you want someone that's hungry. Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, and James actually did mention that you've worked with artists like Koji Radical and Last Night in Paris.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, with LNIP, those guys, we went to school together. That's how we met. So I was in the year above them. I was in year 13 and they were in year 12. And so I was like, that was around the time I had started producing. Me and Tareen started like getting in the studio and like working on songs together and stuff like that. And then kind of the whole like Last Night in Paris thing just kind of happened in this weird like serendipitous way. Like, it just kind of, everything just fell into place and stuff. We were making music, we were going to studio sessions and shooting videos and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and like, we got quite a lot of like buzz and stuff like that and notoriety. And do you know what I mean? We were definitely, there was definitely like a moment, I would say like 2010 to like 2013, 2014. Yeah, like things were going really, really, really good. I went away to uni. So I was kind of like back and forth. Like, I went to uni in Portsmouth. So like, I would sometimes, Portsmouth's not too far, it's like a couple hours away. So I would sometimes come down to London for like sessions and stuff like that. So yeah, so that's how I know those guys. And then I think it's through those guys that I got to know Koji. And that was kind of back when Koji wasn't really rapping back then. He was mostly doing spoken word and poetry and stuff. But his stuff was really, really dope. So I think I did, what did we work on? I think I did a remix for, I think the song was called Plucking Petals, Chase the Dragon, off of his Dear Daisy Opium project. I think this was like 2014, I want to say, 2013, 2014. Yeah, and he reached out to me and he was like, yo, I really, really want you to do this remix for this song. He was basically doing a re-release of the whole project and stuff. So yeah, he's really, really dope. It's been sick to see like his career progression as well.
Yeah,
his career progression has been crazy. He's such an amazing artist.
Yeah, that's sick. What kind of remix was it?
So it's funny because that, I don't even know how I would describe it. I'll send it to you after this, but like the first half of it is almost like, I want to say like orchestral, but then trap.
Okay.
And then the second half of it is reggae. Don't ask me how it makes sense, but when you hear it, it'll make sense to you.
Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, it's funny. I did an interview with Guap Mag last month called The Producer's Voice. Shout out to Mickey, and he basically like he picked I think five songs or three songs that I'd produced that he wanted me to talk about. And that was one of the ones he picked because he was just like, I was not expecting it to switch into a reggae song. Like, it was crazy. But like, it was mad. Like, sometimes when I make music, like, I can just hear, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes I can just hear the entire song in my head exactly how it's meant to go and how it's meant to sound. So when he sent me the stems, and I played them, I was like, yeah, I've just got to do a reggae breakdown. Like, it just has to be that. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. Like, it's decided.
I mean, if it works, then...
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Cool. So I like when that happens because it's like, it's that challenge of you hear something in your head and it's that challenge of having to recreate it in real life. Whereas a lot of the time when I go studio, like, I just kind of go with the flow and whatever comes out, comes out. But those rare moments where it's like, okay, now, like, this is... the idea I have to make and it sounds exactly like this and I have to make sure it sounds exactly like this. It's quite a cool experience.
Have you worked with any of them since then?
I've not worked with Last Night in Paris for ages, actually. For years. I'm still cool with them. Those guys are cool. And then Koji, I saw Koji a couple of years ago, I think 2019, and we were supposed to get in, but then I think around that time is when I started like working on my album and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty zoned in on that, and obviously he's zoned in on his stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure we'll link up. Like, I'm sure we'll link up soon. That's the homie, man.
So I'm guessing like your plans, like you said, for the next few months is kind of promoting your album, and then possibly starting something new. Like, do you reckon you'll have any like singles on the way? Just side kind of little things.
Yeah. So definitely, I think I really want to put out at least one single before the year is done. So probably, yeah, towards the end of the year. But yeah, the plan, like you said, really is just to push the album.
Yeah,
actually,
get it out there.
I'm going to start a podcast series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, basically, I've not got like a solid name, but it's kind of like around the whole idea of 10,000 hours, like people who have mastered their craft or who are mastering their craft and kind of sitting and having conversations with them about their journeys. So the first season I'm planning is to kind of break down my album and sort of have interviews as conversations with some of the artists who were featured on my project, talk to them about their contribution to the project, but then also their own careers and
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of like what their journey's been like in terms of like really honing their craft and like becoming the best artist that they can be. And then hopefully in the second season I'll start to like interview like different people and stuff. So
yeah, I'm hoping to
bring that out kind of before the year end, maybe like October, November times.
Yeah, it's interesting, this whole like new podcast thing. I don't know. It's quite a new thing, isn't it? And it's actually quite big as well.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. Definitely growing big. And there's a lot of opportunities there as well, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So what, I mean, you've been ill, but what's like a typical day for you with production, or do you have another job?
So my day job, I'm an accountant. I'm an accountant for my day job. So Monday to Friday, that's what I'm doing.
How is that?
It's cool. It's actually cool. Because I did finance and business at university. So I've kind of always been kind of inclined towards like businessy type things anyway. And I definitely want to get into kind of like starting my own businesses and stuff. So accountancy is, it's very, very good to know, especially in the music industry. I've realized like a lot of people, you hear a lot of horror stories. And I think a lot of that is because people don't have good accounting or lawyers as well. Actually, if you're a lawyer, that's dope too. Like I have friends who do music that are lawyers as well. I think that's definitely like handy skills to have.
I mean, you've got both ends of the spectrum, I guess you could say, like one side being the business and the money, and then the other side's the creative side.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't have both. And that's like what you said, you hear horror stories, and I think it's because they don't understand that whole money side.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's definitely a blessing. So yeah, Monday to Fridays is usually that. And then weekends I'm usually in studio, although obviously I was ill this past weekend and stuff. But yeah, weekends is usually studios. I do go studio sometimes, like weekdays. My work is quite flexible. So
okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm able to like, I remember there was times when like I would take like 3 days off to like go to XL recordings and just like hang out in the studio and stuff. So
that's good. You've got the passion. Like, do you know what I mean? Like some people would just be like, oh, the weekend, I just want to do nothing.
Yeah, no, I can't afford to, man. I've got to keep grinding.
Good to hear.
So yeah, I have a nice balance right now. It's good. I have a nice balance. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
It was a great chat. And I look forward to hear more music.
Likewise.
And we'll speak soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode, and make sure to hop onto Spotify or whatever your preferred streaming platform is and listen to his album 10,000 Hours. Once again, thank you for listening. And if you enjoy this podcast, go give it a follow.